Lesson number 12247, Mr. J. Weddle, Reel 8.
Mr. J. Weddle, Reel 8. What other things did the German officer ask you when you were being interrogated, Mr. Weddle?
Well, after I told him, mentioned the regiment I was in, he says, what are you doing civilian life? Oh, I says, I was a soldier. And he looked at me as if to say, you're young to be a regular soldier sort of thing, you know? I says, oh, that's what I am, a soldier. Oh, well. Soldier, you know. And that's it. And he told us to go to the next one, sit at the next table. And he took me fingerprints. Both hands. And went there and I've got a photograph taken. They give a number. I think it's 9457. Little desk. I had to put it on my neck, go against the wall, and they took you. Photograph like that, so by the looks of the other lads, it looked right mess, so I must have done the same, because with all my hair off, you know, and a clean white shirt, must have had my face must have been a bit haggard then, and that's how we got a photograph, and then was sent back into inside again, and that went on to everybody else was done, so then we had a number.
So there was no attempt to persuade you to give other information?
No, I just asked you. There was no force, no. So most of the lads, some say were farmers. Some say were saying, if I say I'm a farmer, they might send us on the farms, you know. But none of them said they were miners, you know, because they didn't want to go and do the mine sort of thing. I just, most of them said soldier. So according to them, we must have been all regular soldiers, you know. I don't think they believe, of course. But there was no force in there. Anything like that. Not to us, anyway. And that was it. They said we'd be getting a letter, car to send home, and they would send information through to the International Red Cross. So up to then, nobody in England knew we were prisoners of war. And that was it, because that was a main body to what people knew, because they were the journalists, you know. I see where you come from, sort of thing. I say, oh, Newcastle. Nobody knew Gates, you know, it's Newcastle. And a lot of Germans knew Newcastle, so the coal boats, you know. Oh, kaput and bumped a bit, you know, so good. That was it, and of course, they'd let you listen to the radio in the camp, but Lord Oho, sort of thing, was on just then. That was all. Well, that was a load there. Wrote a book, really, and a bit of truth in it, but you didn't believe it if you want to, or disbelieve it, whichever.
Did you settle down now in your camp routine?
No, it was, I think myself, it was just, they must have tumbled, were in a bad state, you know, getting cleaned up, and I did go out to... I think the third day, I was sent out on a little walking party, about 50 of us, about half an hour's walk from the camp, and to a brickyard. And they gave away some piles of bricks to pile them up properly, you know. And I didn't realise I was so weak, you know, I could hardly pick up a brick when I came to pick the brick up. So it must have been the rest, it must have been really weak. It, I had to use two hands to pick that ordinary brick up, you know, and the German foreman started shouting at me. I said, we weren't capable of it. A lot of us weren't capable of doing it, you know. I didn't realise I was so weak at that particular time.
Did they begin to realise this?
Well, we were only there a couple of hours and then marched them back to the camp. And I didn't go into another, I think we were there about a week. around about a week. And not sure, still trouble with wind, but at least we were getting a bit of bread. Let's say one between four, one between three, and one day we got one between two.
How many meals a day were you getting?
Just one bowl of soup, and that's all. That was the, and I believe we got some a little bit of sausage, like polony sort of thing, you know.
So you had no breakfast when you got up?
Oh no, there's no breakfast, no. That, in fact, a quarter of the bread was just like two slices, and that lasted you 24 hours.
What time of the day were you getting it?
About tea time. About dinner time. And you got a bowl of soup, mostly barley soup, which was not as gin, I suppose, but it did nothing for the wind, you know, and you try to keep a bit of bread back. You put in that locker and kept your eye on it all night till you saw the neat of the edit. Well, you couldn't sleep looking at it. It must have been a bad way, you know. And there was a line next to London lads then. I think me and Robert were the only Tyneside lads in that barrack room. And that's while London lads and Scotch lads. Lads from Cali and the lads from St. Valery. Because we're all talking about it. That's how we start getting all the news and what happened during the war. And getting different versions of it, you know.
And how many men was there in the barrack room?
Well, there'd be about 30 in that room. Around 30.
And you were locked in, were you?
Oh, the guard would let you. Well, you know, you could go to the toilet. You couldn't get out the camp. Any kids was all under, below ground. It wasn't underground. It was below ground because it was a flat roof. And it was built below the parapet, you know. You couldn't see it from outside. And, you could go to the toilet. And put just a corridor. And there was always guards on the corridor. And a couple of guards. So you could go to the toilet at your free will, which you had to do, though. The lads were back all day, back and forwards to the toilet.
Were you able to keep yourselves clean and shaved? From
couldn't shave. There was no shaving tackle as such then. I just got a shower. And I think I had two showers the time I was there for the week. And then as they were told to whatever equipment I had to get it done, I'd had a bag. Then, little haversack, and what little gear we had, a little bit of football, you put everything in, you didn't leave nothing behind wherever you went. They. And I took the line up outside, I think it was about 100 of us, they started calling our numbers out then. We had to look on my desk to see if the number, you know, and line up, so you know where we're going here, you know, sort of thing. And I was hoping Robert would be there, but he wasn't. I was with the London lads and the Highland lads, amongst all strangers to me, for the first time. You know.
How did you feel?
Very lonely. Lonely. Me and Robert looked at each other and goes, fairly telling my cousin sort of thing, you know, but no. And then we marched out to camp. And I think it was a bit of tears in both eyes, like when we waved to each other, you know, and I never seen him anymore after that for 5 years.
So where did they march you to?
They took me to the a railway station and a cattle truck again, and coupled up to the train, and one there about a couple of hours, and we got out and we started to march. We went marched. We said, well, and they could select Polish names, one Poland, and we came to this village, seemed to be miles away in a forest, You know the name of it. With no names up, in any case. With all Polish names, with a Polish name to us then, we couldn't hear for the words then, you know. And it was came to a schoolhouse. And that's where we went, in the schoolhouse, with a little garden, and a pump in the garden. And we tried to get an empty schoolroom, just a few tables in, you know. You could see holes in the roof, sort of thing. And the guards were in the, must have been the headmistress's house next door. That's where the guards made their camp. And I think they had a bit of a field boiler in there. And the two of the lads, one of them was from Liverpool. And they volunteered to be cooks. And you were making soups, cabbage soup, things like that for us.
Where were you getting the cabbages from?
Oh, the Germans. Yeah. The Germans there. And but mostly dehydrated stuff.
How long were you there?
Just a few weeks. But what we were doing was, I had no boots, as I said, my boots was finished then. I was walking up, I give her wooden clogs, Dutch clogs, which my feet weren't used to. Half the time we were bare feet, because we had no stockings. What they gave her was two flannel squares. And the Germans got them as well for it. Over their socks, they put on jack boots. Before they put their jack boots on, and two of the old guards showed how to put them on properly. And there was a method how to put them on if you wanted comfort. And that's all we had on our feet. So half the time, once we were in the forest, we walked on our bare feet, which was very uncomfortable on the bottom of the forest. But it seems the Polish army had built off wire netting up there, barbed wire traps, tank tops with barbed wire, and trenches in the forest, made clearances for the machine gun posts, because they thought the Germans would have come through that way. And what they were doing is that some of us wrapping the barbed wire up, which was nasty if you got a cut, because you're in a bad way, it was healing. And one or two lads got gloves off the German guards, but we were, most of the time, we're filling in trenches there, Polish trenches. And now in the game, I came across bits of Polish limbs where, so we rebodied them, just put them in a shallow grave and covered them up, just put a mark on, you know. There's nothing, just a leg here and an arm, sort of thing. So the most, and we've seen the place where the tanks, German tanks had went through. And if you dig, you see horses, dead horses, where they'd partly covered them up, you know. So we had that job. And but it was warm weather, and forestry. It's in the heart of the forest. We marched about, and I went to the forest. And you could see where the German tanks had came through. And there's supposed to have been a Polish cavalry place in there, and there was a big clearance for the machine gun post. But the Germans didn't come thumped out. We had, they must have done exactly the same as they did the Ardennes. They came through the back of the poles. And there was just a few attacked, you know, the front. And they weren't attacked there. Barbed wire wasn't even touched in place. It wasn't touched, so they must have come through the back then. But there must have been a battle of some sort there, because the people were dead, you know. And you could see where the few dead horses, they still used a lot of horses, you know. And and you could see where the tanks had knocked a few of the trees down, and where they had been cut down. It was a massive forest.
You never did find out where it was, did you?
No, just in Poland, somewhere in the Thorn and Bromborg district, you know. And, mate. No, not there. I didn't, not before I went to Thorn. But it was a Oh, it was a long Polish name that they had. I can't pronounce it.
And how long did you stay in this schoolhouse?
A few weeks. A few weeks there.
Now, what was the feeling the like there?
Oh, very poor. As I say, it was just soups. And you might get a bit of meat in and on again. Horse meat sort of thing. And this lad from Liverpool escaped from there. So it was the toilets were just a hole in the ground, you know, and covered it with canvas because they were still in the village. And the Polish women and the young girls in the night time would throw bread over the wire. And the guards were getting their whack. They looked the other way and that way. But they wouldn't give you it, couldn't hand it to you. You just had to throw it over the wire.
Yeah.
So that was a great help, you know. But when it rained there, like the rain was coming through the roof, you know. You had to hide underneath the table to get shelter for the rain. We had a bit of a bad way there, but working in the forest and when the sun did shine, you could feel the sun doing you good. And we were getting some food, but we still had the wind trouble, you know. That was the worst part, wind. We had that for months.
What time did your day start?
Dawn. Soon as dawn, and it took about an hour and a half to get through that forest. And yeah, they gave you some bread, and we were getting a bit of sausage. And there was that honey, synthetic honey, which was sweet, but and they gave a little bar of soup that we use for getting muck off your hands, sand, a lot of sand, and not to last for a long time. Didn't get anywhere for months out of that, but it seems later on that's all the Germans got as well, just that little bit of soup, lasted about a month, sort of thing, you know.
How were the guards treating you?
Not too bad then. You had to do your work, but they weren't vicious. You just, naturally, you had to do what you're told, you know, and they weren't really vicious. I never.
Was there any opportunity again to get to know them closely? And
No. They just when they were resting in the forest after. They did give you a rest, you know. And still the lads are getting used to a pick and shovel, you know, after all that march. And you were gradually getting your strength back a little bit. And, actually, we're getting a bit worried what was happening to them.
You're still getting no mail?
No, there's no mail.
Was any sign of the Red Cross coming through?
No, not then. Not the sign. Nothing. And in fact, we didn't know if people knew what was happening. Just that the German officer said that the National Red Cross would be informed, you know. And for the pools at a particular time, it did help with a little bit of bread. Because they have the big round loaves of bread, you know, and it was nourishing. Some had a rye bread with a bit of potato in. It's very nourishing, but some of the lads couldn't stomach it. But you had to eat it.
Was there any signs of the Germans treating the Poles rather roughly?
Well, they were pretty strict with the Poles. Oh, they'd no nonsense. Like, they wouldn't let you be in. They could. I think it depends what happened with the moods of the guards were in. And, so you had to be careful what you did. You had to be careful. They shipped from that camp. Went to another schoolhouse, another village, Polish village. Same old shelter, like our school shelters are, the old-fashioned English school shelters, exactly the same as them.
What time would this be?
July, June. Still in June. But the beginning of July, I think, went there because I had to move from that camp and went to the southern village and doing the same kind of work. I took bad there, I had swollen face. And a German medical officer came. He could speak good English. I think he'd done some of his training in England, the way he was talking. And I I went to a lot of lads, had a lot of complaints then, you know, and trying to get off the work as well, like. And, but my face was up like a pudding, one side, my neck. And I was getting a bit worried about it, you know. And showed the German doctor what it was, and looked at it, felt it. And he asked us my age. I said, well, just turned 19. He says, oh, he says, you've got swollen glands. He says, it's you're undernourished. He says, coming out. He says, you got a sweaty sock. Just put good English, you know. I said, I've got no sweaty socks. I've got the planet squares, and I showed them, you know. Wrap it around your neck when you go to bed. Just like that. He says, oh, yes, I can't give you any more treatment. He says, swollen glands. And undernourishment. So that was my treatment. But I just had to wrap the flannel when I took my clogs off, wrap it around my neck, tied them in, not tied around my neck, and gradually went down in a fortnight. It went down.
If you were sick, was it a morning sick parade?
No, just you only came the once. We never seen another medic after that. But if a lad was really ill, they'd send him back to a medical camp, the big camps where there was medical doctors there, like, you know. There were some British doctors there as well, they say.
How were you organising yourselves? Was the discipline coming back into your situation? I mean, your own discipline amongst yourselves?
Well, if you... Actually, at that camp, it was... The senior man took charge of the camp, as far as the Jones were concerned, and you. And but that was only for issuing orders out. And on top of anybody that could speak good English, good German, could become an interpreter. But some of the lads there, some of them picked it up, you know. And he got a job to interpreting. And that's where it went. But just in the cell, one or two sergeants, well, for most, we most reasonably well, you know, sort of thing. But through the forest, you just struggle through. You're just on your own little group, you know. And but one instant there, the guards were acting themselves. They wouldn't let me go to the toilets. Because upstairs in the schoolroom, and the guards were downstairs. And as I say, there. Had a field kitchen and this is the old school shelter, which reminded me of home. It was just the same as our schoolyards, you know. And a lot of Polish papers, newspapers and school papers, and we're getting them and glancing through to see if we could pick some words out, you know. Got a word from the village pump, was outside the headmistress, what was there? Would have been the headmistress's room. And that's where we got washed my clothes there as well. My khaki short, my white short that the Germans gave her. Because we wound up where we were in a bad way. And that's how we existed. But that's every night time, the Poles would give you bread and try and give you a bit of sausage. Plony sausage, of course, and or liver sausage. And but the bread was a godsend. But as far as you keeping you clean, it's just putting your clothes in the water and rubbing it and getting it dried. No soap as such, because that little bit of soap didn't last long.
How long were you in this particular?
Just a few weeks. We were working in the forest then. There were wood cutting. We were having to stack it and filling a few trenches in there as well. We weren't there long. But when we were upstairs, the guards, something happened. I think this must have been about the time when that Liverpool lad escaped. He was supposed to be the cook. He was on the fiddle with the Grubbernall. We found out later. And,
how did he get out?
Well, you could... when you were marked, he just disappeared. I mean, if you already told him, you could get out. But where could he go? No, he didn't know where you were. You had to have really some help. I think he got a bit of help, I don't know, because he had been in the cookhouse in the old other village, and was talking to the Polish woman. So he may have had some kind of, he was that kind of lad. And the hotel, he'd been fiddling with rations and all. Got more rations than what we did. I think that's why he wanted to be the cook for anyway.
So what happened then when the Germans
well,
found this out?
There must have been about that time. They stopped going to the toilet during the night. Oh, when the one guard, you know, was torn a guard, and all the windows had barbed wire up. And it was there, just the little garden outside, and the guards were posted outside, and then the lads were still having stomach trouble, you know, and then some of them were starting to get diarrhea. And they wouldn't let them go out to the toilet one at a time. And they couldn't go out till somebody come back. Because the toilet was across the schoolyard next to the shelter. It all took time, so the lads couldn't wait. So one of the lads started in out the window. Opened the window. And just done what they had out the window. So we heard all the shouting and a rifle gone up. It seems to the guards have been standing underneath the window. Oh, there was pandemonium. Up that room, had a fig's beer, and all come in there. So you were still awake. We were supposed to be asleep. Trying to cover a cell up, you know what I mean? I was asleep. Well, I was hell on. What did I do?
There was no punishment, was there?
They didn't find anybody while asleep then. It was supposed to be. It just got more awkward, that was all. And we were there another week and took me back to Bromborg.
Have the officers left you by now? Have they gone off?
Oh, yes, we were separated from there. We were separated a long time from the officers. I never seen any officers after Trier. And went back to Marienburg.
What date was this then?
Not Marion. No, Thorn. Went back to Thorn, that was it, aye. Went back to Thorn again, the main camp in Thorn. It wasn't the Polish army camp, it was the main camp. That hut's there. That was another one that was dug out the ground and built up, and the camp was below ground level, putting all the guards had a parapet on the top. And the main gate was off the main road. Thorn, and all the German officers and staff were in a big building. We won huts and had a lovely big cookhouse there. It was a military camp. It was a bad camp, that.
In what way was it a bad camp?
Well, the huts were just rows of wood. Give you a straw, but you throw the straw, we're getting lice then, you know. Lice and fleas. And one doing no work. And that particular time, we just knocked about the camp, and we're getting some Navy lads in, caught on patrols on the coast. So we're getting a bit news off them, and the lads were coming from Norway. They were being captured in Norway. And some lads, merchant seamen, that were caught on the boats, and some one or two young boys with them, the officers, and one or two Salvation Army men went there as well, so they were caught as well.
They'd been caught with
the troops. Oh, aye, in France, aye. And the lads were trying to tell some of the German guards that they weren't soldiers, sort of thing, you know. And it's the only camp I've seen them in, so they may have stopped there or went somewhere else. I think they became medics, you know. The food wasn't so hot there. What they did is they parole your potatoes, turnips, and beetroot. Oh, it's a great country for beetroot. And all on the ground, you know, just pile up outside. And then at the cookhouse, you know, of course you had to take your turnip and peel the potatoes and peel the turnips to make the soup, you know. And so the night the lads were going dark and pinching the potatoes and the turnips and the beetroot. But the next morning, totally got on parade, a roll call, everybody. The German officer came, and so the interpreter, he turned, the RSM was from the KROs. RSM was the head man at the camp at that particular time. And he says, you can steal that as much as you like, but he says, that's a monthly ration. When that's gone, that's nothing. You get nothing else for a month. So dismissed with next, all the sergeants and corporals from each hut had to go and see the RSM and another sergeant major out to KROs. And they said they wanted volunteers in each room and make the police corp stand guard through the night over the vegetables, because they said, well, if for everybody, why should a few get them? And they banned all fires, because we had stoves in the hut, and banned all them for a while to stop you cooking them.